The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 25. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Last verse. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? The next one is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, he was eating with them. He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.
Well, a few weeks ago when I was asked, I think it was by Mabel, to come over here to speak, I was praying, and you know, I haven't actually preached or spoken since I retired at Brookside back at the end of September last year. So this is the first time for a few months. So it's a real joy to be doing this again. And as I was seeking God about today, I felt God saying that having led a church for in excess of 40 years, as a church leader, a lot of your attention goes on the nuts and bolts of church life. Home groups and things we've been talking about this morning. You become very focused on people, and that's right, pastorally. But I felt God saying to me that I needed to focus more in my years ahead, however long they be, on talking about the kingdom of God. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God more than he spoke about anything else. I think the second thing he spoke about most was money. But the kingdom of God was important. And he not only spoke about it, but he modelled it. So in my role across Reading, I've been grappling with this for a long time. What does it look like as the kingdom increasingly comes in our communities and in our town and in our workplaces as it is in heaven. And of course, one day the kingdom's going to fully come when this world passes away and we have a new heaven and a new earth. But what does it feel like with the kingdom in and around us now? And I guess the disciples experienced that firsthand, spending time with Jesus. But I wonder what it looks like in where you live, where you work, where you spend your time, where you study. What does it look like for the kingdom of God? Of course, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And the disciples spent a long time interacting with Jesus and talking about these kind of things and struggling to understand what he really meant. There's a great deal happening in Reading. And sometimes I think with readings like the one we just had, does this work from here? Yeah. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Do you think sometimes when Jesus taught us to pray prayers like this, that in a funny sort of way, he was almost setting us up? Let your kingdom come through me into the earth as it is in heaven. And for the kingdom to come in our lives, there's some big, big challenges, because we live in a culture that's anything but a kingdom culture. And we're probably shaped a lot more by the kingdom around us, the kingdoms around us, than we think we are. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God as well, and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. And then in the Acts, I think it's really important, isn't it? The last messages that Jesus brought to people after his resurrection were giving proofs that he was alive, but also talking again about the kingdom of God for 40 days. I had to go to a physiotherapist because I have quite a lot of back pain, lower back pain, which is not uncommon for us, is it? And down my sort of right side of my leg. And the physiotherapist said to me, one of your problems is crossing your legs. So no condemnation on anyone sat here this morning crossing their legs. But he said, when you cross your legs, do you do realize that you put really bad pressure on the base of your back? We all do it. It's a natural thing to do, to cross your legs, isn't it? And he said to me, it will take you 40 days of not crossing your legs intentionally to get out of the habit. You have to retrain your brain so that your body operates in a different way for 40 days. And that got me thinking. One of my friends is Steve Goss. I don't know if you know Steve, but he leads something called Freedom in Christ. And they do a lot of prayer declarations over periods of 40 days. It's like physically, spiritually, emotionally, certain things change when we do them for that period of time because our brains begin to think differently. And I can honestly say now that I never, ever instinctively cross my legs. And on the odd occasion that I'm tempted to think about doing it, my brain says, that's not good for you. It's interesting, isn't it? You have to re-educate yourself. And that's true with habits or bad habits in our lives. We have to reprogram our brains. Jesus taught another 40 days about the kingdom. Don't you think that's strange in some ways? Because he spent the previous 3.5 years pretty focused on the kingdom of God. But he talked about it. And we'll come on a little bit later on the outworking of that teaching on the kingdom of God. When the Holy Spirit came, it's like what's energized in the church is the kingdom. It's really, really exciting. The kingdom. As I said just now, and Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God above all else. In Hebrews 12, 28, I haven't got this on the slide, I was thinking about this morning. In our world that is struggling with the power struggles that are going on, the uncertainties, the economic woes, the forthcoming elections in our own nation, the writer to the Hebrews says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. It's like everything else is being shaken, so that what remains is what God is doing and what God is putting into our lives. That remains solid. I've been very moved by this story. I don't know about you. I don't know if you picked up the news, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, this guy, Alex Navalny, died in prison. He was exiled in northern Russia. And I read one commentator talking about Navalny, who was a Christian. And it says this, there's one thing that stands out about Navalny was his Christian faith. During his show trial in Moscow in 2021, he said, "The fact that I am a Christian, which usually sets me up as an example for constant ridicule in the Anti-Corruption Foundation, because most of our people are atheists, and I was once quite a militant atheist myself." It reminded me of Paul in the Bible, actually. He continued, "But now I am a believer, and that helps me a lot in my activities because everything becomes much, much easier." Navalny went on to stress how he is especially motivated by the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied," Matthew 6. "In a world of injustice, cruelty, greed and inequality, many know that the same thirst, while powerful men hunger for power to acquire it and to preserve it, even if it means slaughtering their own people, there are others who thirst for a world put to rights." There's something about this man's life. He was poisoned. I don't know if you know the story, but he was poisoned. He recovered miraculously. And he then chose to go back to Russia, which was bonkers, because he knew he would be arrested. He knew he would be imprisoned, which is in fact what happened. No one really knows how he died, but he died. And actually, I suspect over the coming years, his prophetic actions will speak louder in his death than perhaps when he was alive. He began to get a glimpse, I think, of what it was like to live as a kingdom person, to be prepared to sacrifice your life for the sake of the greater good in his own nation. And as Christians, sometimes it's right to call out injustice, isn't it? You know, we're called to live with a different heart and spirit. And Navalny actually said, "I forgive my enemies. I forgive those who abuse me. I forgive those who have poisoned me." And that is a kingdom mindset, and yet calling out injustice at the same time. So what is the kingdom of God? I don't know if you're you ever do this in this church here, but when you think, if I say the kingdom of God, what comes into your mind? Would you like to call it out? Would you like to be a little bit interactive this morning? What do you think about when you think about the kingdom of God? Heaven, you think about heaven, okay, yep.
Worship,
yeah.
The destruction of sin
as the kingdom comes. So light overtaking darkness, yeah. Peace, fruit of the Spirit, freedom, yeah. True freedom, yeah. Hey, this kingdom's getting good, isn't it? Sorry? Love, real love, yeah. Yeah.
Giving glory to God.
The glory of God actually coming more and more and more, yeah. Revealing his glory everywhere. Ordinary people revealing the glory of God. That's a miracle, isn't it? That's really good. So the kingdom of God is a very, very special, special thing. And just for a few minutes, these are the things that stand out to me about the kingdom of God and how it's revealed. Lives lived which are consistent with our biblical beliefs and values. We are our message. Sometimes we don't need to say very much at all, because by living out our message, we bring about the kingdom of God. My wife, Anita, used to work for a few years for a financial advisor. And in her little business, her little company, everyone used to dump all their stuff in the kitchen, and no one would take responsibility to clean or to wash up, and it just piled up. And she decided, she felt God saying, just go and serve these people, just clean up and do it. And eventually people said, who's doing the clearing up around here? And Anita said, well, I'm just getting on and doing it. But by actually serving in small ways, you have a platform for messages that come later on. There was a few years later, there was a little bit of a bust up between the directors of the company that she was working in. And we had some tools, some relational tools that Anita thought, these might just work here in this company. So she began to talk to the directors about emotional needs. She was actually talking about the kingdom of God, but put it into a language which wasn't overtly spiritual, if you like. And they implemented some of the tools that she gave them. And the directors did go their own way, but they left positively, and all of them have prospered since because of the
sacrifice she made in actually serving the company, it gave her a platform to be a voice within that company. And that's often how it works, by being the servant of all. It's demonstrating the kingdom of God wherever we are. Our lives are our message. And then there's a willingness to adopt postures which are surprisingly different to what might be expected in our attitudes, actions, and reactions. There's something in us humanly that just wants to make sure we're heard. Is that right? Sometimes, when we feel we're offended or upset by something, we want to make our point. And sometimes that's right. But often, what diffuses situations is coming in an opposite spirit. Pouring in kindness, pouring in love, pouring in gentleness, and pouring in mercy, living as kingdom men and women. This kingdom is about a givenness to generosity of time, purpose, and sacrifice, and loving well. During February and March, Anitra and I have been working with Bed for the Night down in Reading, and meeting and serving and trying to care for some of the homeless people in Reading. And we're gobsmacked at the amount of people in our town that are regularly doing so much more than we're doing, but just laying down their lives to bring a kingdom message of hope in all walks of life, including among the hopeless, the homeless constituency in our town. As we start to give generously in all sorts of ways, we find the kingdom isn't far away. Then there's modelling the life and attitude of Jesus. In our church at the moment, we're going through the book of Matthew. It's really good practice to spend time just looking at Jesus in the Gospels, looking at his reaction to things, looking at some of the surprising ways he taught about the kingdom of heaven, and learning about the sacrifice that he made. As we draw close to Jesus, it's inevitable that we will reveal more of the kingdom that's within us, his life flowing through us. The kingdom of is of power and not just of talk, demonstrating the proximity of King Jesus. Over the years, I've spent lots and lots of times in meetings talking about things. And I think as human beings, we are very good at talking. And sometimes it's just coming back to God, getting on our knees and saying, God, we need more of your presence. We need more of your life in our lives. Understanding that churches don't exist for the sake of ourselves, but for the communities that we serve, for sacrifice and thanksgiving to God. Worship isn't for us. I used to have people when I was pastoring who would say to me, oh, worship was really good this morning. And I stopped to think about that and think, what does that actually mean? is this worship for me or is this worship for God? Sometimes we get a little bit consumerist, don't we, in our attitude towards church. And I think the kingdom is opposite to that. As we're seeking first his kingdom, we'll hit lift off in worship in ways that are extraordinary. Jesus said, didn't he, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and being. That's worship. But loving your neighbour as you love yourself, that's the embodiment of the kingdom. But that does require us to know how much God loves us so that we can love ourselves well and get healed from any wounding or damage in our own lives. The kingdom is about seeing what God is doing, where he is working, and sometimes just joining in. Do you remember Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And sometimes that requires us to kind of spiritually open our eyes and say, what are you doing? Where can I join in with what you are doing, Father God? So joining in with what God is doing. And then there's this little thing which is unity. I've kind of grappled with this over many, many years. And in our part of early in East Reading, we had kind of collections of churches trying to work together and we called it unity. And then I realized that the heart of unity was really knowing and being known in true relationship. Christians working together by knowing and being known. And, you know, when we started praying together in Reading 27 years ago, and church pastors gathered together, we realized after a while, we were challenged by a guy from South America called Ed Silvoso, who said to us, take time to get together and bless your town by praying for it and releasing the presence of God across the town. And after a few years, we realized that actually on the basis of Psalm 133, there is no blessing without unity. Unity is the bridge which actually releases an increasing sense of blessing into the communities in and around us. So unity is very, very important, but it's not superficial. It's not a lowest kind of common denominator. It's something that's very, very precious. And it's a real joy over the subsequent years to see pastors and leaders of Christian churches and charities taking time to have a cup of coffee together, being real together, talking about their pain together, praying for one another, being healed together, and seeing that kind of thing, a great foundation and a bridge for unity and a wonderful vehicle for the kingdom of God to be revealed. I don't know if you can see what that is. Do you know what that is? It's a mixture of pipes and conduits. And a few years ago, I gave a talk at Brookside called Conduits and Connectors. And you know, the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus, Jesus is doing things sometimes behind our backs and around us and we don't even realize it. He's actually preparing the way for his kingdom to come. And he's kind of maneuvering us like living vessels to join our lives together, just like conduits and connectors. What do conduits do? They generally bring energy. They bring life, they bring water, they bring electricity. But for every conduit, there's always a connection that takes the conduit in a different connection, a different direction. And when we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on the earth as it is heaven, I believe this is happening, that the Holy Spirit is creating links with people, is putting us together in places, and suddenly we realize that God's gone before us. And as we find those connections, and as we step in to our destiny that God's given us, we find ourselves connected with other people, and we become vehicles for more of the kingdom to come. That's happening all across Reading. My wife is a trustee of Street Pastors, and to see the way that God has linked the police with street pastors and key people in the police at just the right time, suddenly there's a release of finances, there's a release of goodwill and all sorts of things. And that's being repeated with all sorts of charities and organisations across the wider Reading area. God has gone before us. I hope you don't mind me mentioning you, Iffy, but Iffy Omer is a doctor from our church. He's come to join with us today. And actually, would you mind coming out here and just telling us what your role is in the World Health Authority? Is that right? Sorry, I've completely landed her in this. She wasn't expecting this, but Iffy sometimes speaks in our church. So come and tell us what you do, Iffy. I know.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Steve. I wasn't expecting this.
No.
I just wanted to come with my husband to support Steve this morning and worship with you, all of you. My name is Ifoma Monye, and I'm a GP, a local GP in Early. And I've been at the Brookside Church for 18 years now. We moved in from London into Early. So beyond being a local GP, out in the world, as we call it, I'm an apostle in the marketplace, and I serve the Lord in my role as the president of the World Lifestyle Medicine Organization, WLMO, which is headquartered in Geneva. And, you know, when Steve was sharing something with us just now, he said something about being in a place of service and God creating a platform from that service so that in the future sometime you are a voice that people can listen to. That's exactly been my journey with the role with the World Lifestyle Medicine Organization that is made up of 50 countries, including United Kingdom, America, and every continent in the world. And I'm the president sitting like Solomon, every day asking God for deep insight and knowledge to govern nations. So I think I just want to share with everyone here that, you know, when we are volunteering, as it were, in any role, and we're serving humanity in any role, we just do that because we sense the Lord is saying, this is the role I need you to play in this organization, in that organization, as my light, as my light. So share the light of Christ wherever you are. You just don't know what God is preparing you to do in the future of that organization, or indeed in the world. God wants, for me, I see that God wants the World Health Organization to understand what health is. Right now, what we have is sick care. We don't have health care. People just get ill and we want to cure them of illness. But God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to be in health. He doesn't want us to get ill. And that's what the WLMO is set out to show the world, hopefully collaborating very strongly with the World Health Organization to say that preventive health care is really the way to go. I won't speak anymore because I'll take over the morning, but yeah.
Thanks, Ify. You know, the amazing thing about the kingdom of God is it flows through ordinary people, ordinary men and women who know they're loved by Jesus. And what we're doing locally, it's amazing how God moves people and positions people. And when Ify stood up at Brookside and said, can you pray for me because I've got this role? I was thinking, this is extraordinary, isn't it? How God just picks someone up in a place like Reading, and there's lots of, Ify could spend a whole morning talking to us about how the Holy Spirit has led her and her family to be men and women of influence. And that's who we are. Every believer is called to be a man or woman of influence in our particular orbit or world. So we're like these conduits and connections. And my question is, if we're looking at what the Father's doing, we might ask ourselves the question, for the sake of the kingdom, who is it that you want me to be connected with to help increase the flow of your kingdom in my particular world? Because God always puts us together with other people. And that's really exciting. So in Reading, there's loads of connections. This is just a few. This is just a few, the logos of churches and charities working together. We happen to work together here as under the umbrella of Transform Reading, just to pray together. But there's lots of other things going on besides Transform Reading. Transform Reading is a means to an end and not an end in itself. We're partnering together for the sake of the kingdom coming in Reading. So just winding down now, coming into land, when Jesus taught about the kingdom at the beginning of Acts, you know the story well, don't you? The Holy Spirit came, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with boldness, new levels of power flowing through them. But what happened? It says there was a unity of heart and mind. These are kingdom values that suddenly the Holy Spirit coming burst into life across the church. What does it look like post-Pentecost, the kingdom? Daily there are new followers and disciples of Jesus. There's life. It's great to hear about the life coming into this church here in Caversham, with friends coming from all sorts of places for such a time as this. Isn't that exciting? God is doing something in this church, adding young people in, adding children in, and that's great. I came here many, many years ago, and there's definitely a sense of God doing something new, and that's really exciting. And as you focus on him and his kingdom, and a little bit less maybe on the church itself, you'll find that God works outside of the orbit that we live in so often, and it's really, really exciting. Daily, new followers and disciples of Jesus. There was a mutual, spontaneous, organic care and support of others. It says in the early chapters of Acts that none of them had needs that couldn't be met. And people shared their lives together. We were talking in the other room earlier about the sense of loneliness and isolation that people are experiencing, like a disease of our age, isn't it? loneliness and isolation. The churches are so well positioned in communities up and down this country to meet that need, to open our doors and reveal the love of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven in places. So thank God for initiatives like Warm Welcome or Warm Spaces that help to deliver that. Generous hospitality, hilarious hospitality, care, a real sense of welcome. That went on in the early church. The growth of house churches focused on eating, praying, learning, and breaking bread together. There were like two wings of church in the temple's courts where the whole church gathered together, and we've been hearing a little bit this morning about home groups. The smaller groups of people, organic groups of people that love spending a time, who doesn't like eating together? What happens when you eat together? You get to know someone, don't you, in very, very special ways. And a lot of Christians think, well, I'm not a very good cook. I can't just do it. It's not about what we produce. It's actually just gathering together around a table and bringing Jesus into that mix. It's pretty good to actually break bread together when you have a meal with someone in that context. That's what the early church did. These are signs of the kingdom of heaven. Needs were met and people were restored. Do you remember Isaiah 61? There's a real mystery about the kingdom. In our family, we've been through quite a lot of trials and troubles in the last 20 years. My wife's had breast cancer. My daughter lost her husband. He passed away 10 years ago. And do you know, through it all, it was interesting singing that one of the first songs we sang, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, You Give and Take Away. Giving thanks and glory to God when things are going well and then when they're not going so well. Paul said, didn't he, that in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. All things, even the trials and struggles. We know, my wife and I know, that there's a little bit more of the kingdom of heaven that's come the hard way into our lives through suffering and difficulties. But our souls in that journey still prosper. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So if you're going through hard times, if you're going through difficulties, just hold on to the fact that God is with you in that struggle. He is with you. He will bring you through it, and you will be positioned well. I once went out to church in Peppard to take an Alpha Supper. It was one of the first, I think it was the Alpha Supper. And I sat down next to a lady when I arrived, and she said, John, I don't know what I'm doing here tonight. She said, my daughter's just been diagnosed with brittle asthma, and I've just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Where on earth is God? And I looked at her and I said, my wife's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I've got a daughter who's got brittle asthma, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And she said, just the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Just the way he does things. He puts us alongside people in just the right moment, at just the right time, if we're prepared to be real and honest. The kingdom comes when we're real and honest in that sense. And then there's remarkable grace and power that flows through that mix. So I want to leave you with questions. I don't want to come and do a talk that doesn't leave you with some actions to follow through on afterwards. So here's my questions to you from today. And I've just given you a snapshot, really, of the kingdom. First one is this: how does the kingdom of God influence your life, aspirations, actions, attitudes, and priorities? So what I'm not doing this morning is putting a guilt trip on you, okay? Just to say, how are you doing in these areas? How does the kingdom of God influence your choices? My wife and I are thinking about the fact that we'd like to move, we'd like to downsize our house a little bit. And it's easy to begin to think, what do we want, rather than, God, where do you want us to be? Where do you want us to live? Who are the people whose lives you still want us to rub shoulders with? And that's seeking first the kingdom of God, hopefully, isn't it? Putting that first in our lives. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to you through that questions, maybe as you contemplate that during the week. Who are the people connected to you and with whom you partner with, who help the life of Jesus and the kingdom flow freely through your life, conduits and connectors? Who are the people God has connected you with to whom Jesus and the kingdom might be revealed? We need each other. That's why God's created the church. And some of those things happen in the local church, and some of those things happen as we begin to serve somewhere locally or across the town or internationally. God positions us, but he always puts us together with others. We are not alone. And the third question, this should keep you going for a few days this week, shouldn't it? Is your focus primarily on the church or the king and his kingdom? Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Whose role is it to build the church? Do you know? Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. I give you what? The keys of the kingdom. And we've looked at just a few of those keys this morning. So as we focus on the king and his kingdom first, we'll find quite a lot about church takes care of itself. If you're a lover of Jesus, you'll want to be part of a church family and a community to share that love with one another and support one another. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like sweet perfume. I'll quote the whole verse, actually. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Do you know what perfume is? It's a blending together, isn't it, of different fragrances. And each of us has a unique fragrance to bring in our part of the world when it's multiplied with the life of Jesus living in us. The fragrance of Jesus in every space, in every orbit. You might say, I'm just this or I'm just that. Wherever you live, whoever you rub shoulders with, whoever you teach, whoever, wherever you are, just let the life of the kingdom flow out of you. I think we're going to sing a couple more songs in a minute, aren't we? We are. So I'm going to hand back over. I'd like to just pray. But I'd like to do something prophetic for those who'd like this. I've got this, it's like a frankincense and myrrh oil that I got that came from Jerusalem. And prophetically, if you'd like me to, I want to pray across the church in Reading for an increase of the fragrance of Jesus through every life. And if you'd like to just receive that by faith this morning as we're singing, I'm just going to stand here, if that's okay. And I'd just like to anoint your head afresh with oil. There's no pressure here, okay? You can just sit in your seat and receive anything else that God might want to give you. But I'd like just to anoint you prophetically to actually say, let the fragrance of the kingdom increase in your life without putting tons of extra effort in, but just by living as kingdom men and women. Is that okay? So Father God, I want to pray over this church. I'm going to pray for the pastor, for Colin right now too, Lord, that you heal and restore him. Thank you for his gifts. Thank you for who he is and is for his family. Father, I pray for every person who's part of this church now and who will become part of this church over the coming years, Lord, that this church will be a conduit for an increasing sense of your kingdom to come in Caversham, in Reading, across the UK and across the world, Lord Jesus. We are influential nobodies. You have called to invest. You've said you will invest into the weak and foolish things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will bring something increasingly powerful through this church here at Caversham. Thank you for Caversham Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. May more of God's kingdom flow to you and through you in the grace and love of Jesus. Amen.